I don't know. I think I did. I don't know that they had as much momentum as they had last week. I think, like, you know, there were a couple of pretty noticeable, you know, production missteps. But I mean, it's still, I still put it over top of Monday Night Raw for sure.
Yeah, definitely. This week's Raw was forgettable, to say the least. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Tuesday Night Ross. Well, we're working on the title.
Ross so. Down Live.
Ross Down Live. I like Ross Down Live. What do you think of Ross Down Live?
Ross Down Live. That's good.
Ross yeah. Down Live. Obviously, we have missed a little bit of Monday Night Ross. We're getting back in the swing of it, making it regular, keeping it here. But we kind of, the three of us all had the same idea, which was that SmackDown has just been the more exciting show. And also, Monday nights ending at 11 is a little later to record. We all have lives. So, that said, it looks like we're going to be transitioning Monday Night Ross to Ross Down Live and trying to make this a Tuesday show. We can still talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw, but we'll probably focus more on SmackDown because, honestly, Bob, I feel like you agree.
Yeah.
Better show.
You made the right choice by not watching it live, and like you said, you watched it on an illegal YouTube stream where it sped it up 30%, and you still couldn't make it through.
That's
with
true.
No commercials, sped up 30%.
It's very true because I have Hulu Plus. I usually watch legal only streams of WWE content. But last night I was trying to catch up. I got home late. I tried to catch up on it before it went up on Hulu today. And I found a YouTube channel that had sped it up 33% so that it would have a less chance of getting caught by the automatic screeners. And I still only made about halfway through what was only a 2-hour Raw at that point before I just like, I can't do this, man. It's just, it was not very good. So I did not see the Sami Zayn possible kayfabe injury, and I did not see...
It's kayfabe. They've been teasing this kayfabe injury this whole time now.
And I also did not see Sasha's Mark Henry moment, the fake out of the retirement.
Stupid, pointless thing.
But that said...
But I'll tell you what, to Sasha Banks' credit, it was a great acting job done by her, for someone starting out. It was great.
I will agree with you there. It was well performed, but that doesn't mean it wasn't good.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well performed does not mean it was not ill-conceived. And fake out retirement speeches. I mean, Mark Henry's worked really well. It was super out of the blue. And also, Mark Henry's older. You know, he's, you know, we were like, well, he's at the tail end of his career. It's super possible he's retiring. So that kind of led us to think there's a chance this is real. And then when he came out in that salmon suit, and we were just like, damn, this is it, man. Henry's out here in a suit. He's getting ready to retire. He gave just a beautiful speech. John Cena came out. We were expecting some heartfelt. And then he Hall of Pains him, and it's just like, that's what I do. And it's like, it was a great shock. I feel like, you know, with Sasha, I didn't see it live, but, you know, she's so young that it didn't feel like it was a possibility.
Honestly, she was almost more teasing that she was pregnant than anything else.
That's the vibe you got?
Well, she said something about 9 months, and she was talking about, like, women and women's strength, and, like, she just got married. I don't know. But
now, see, what I gathered from that was, you know, and maybe this is a creative direction that Raw is going, is they're trying to be smart to the online wrestling fan, which, like most of us, we go through, we'll read the dirt sheets, you know, we've got some contacts, the inner workings, you know, of the company that we get information from. But I feel like that was maybe a jab toward the internet wrestling fans who are reading the reports that, oh, Sasha may be out due to injury because of, you know, what happened at SummerSlam or whatever else. So, I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is a possibility. That's what that's for. Really, I don't know if there's anything, Gabe, that you had in particular you wanted to talk about from Raw. If not, we can go to SmackDown. But if you have anything particular from Raw you wanted to talk about.
No, I'm in agreement with you guys. It's just, it's too damn long. I'm sorry. The talent is great. They've obviously have built their own brand, but for the love of God, cut it down to 2 hours. I just can't sit through it. Can't stay awake.
I don't think that they will because of advertisers. I will say that there is a possibility once they get the cruiserweights going, once they jumpstart that division, maybe the 3 hours won't feel so long. I just feel like right now it's SmackDown. SmackDown didn't get to their first match. Bob, you said what, for like a sixth of the show?
Yeah, it was 20 minutes.
Like 20 minutes in, we hadn't had a first match, but I still felt like SmackDown told a better story and utilized the 2 hours. I mean, I felt like I got a good amount of wrestling in those 2 hours, and the stories were good. So, anyway, so we'll just skip right over Monday Night Raw for this edition and get into SmackDown. Bob and I had kind of called Uso heel turn, American Alpha advance, Slater and Rhino beat Hype Bros, and then we had also called for, and we're calling this now because this was the go home show for SmackDown for Backlash. We had called that Heath Slater and Rhino will win off of an Usos distraction against American Alpha, or possibly at this point, if American Alpha is quote kayfabe injured and can't, that if the Usos advance, that American Alpha would cost the Usos the champion. Somebody's costing something for somebody, and that Slater will get his contract with Rhino.
I could see that. Alternatively, I could see. Let me start that over. I could see that, and I agree.
Bob has the smart picks. He kicked my ass at SummerSlam predictions. I mean, it was no contest.
Yeah, he
was Brock Lesnar. I was Randy Orton for the SummerSlam predictions.
I TKO'd you.
I had already lost, and then he just swept the finale too. Like Jesus.
It's interesting because with both Raw and SmackDown, we're going into the first brand-specific pay-per-views. So here we see a really good opportunity to see how they're going to pay off some of these storylines that they've been working on for the past month and not have to intermix the show. So, obviously, yes, we'll be watching Backlash. It's weird to not have it after WrestleMania, but it'll be cool to watch Backlash and see how this plays out once they get over that first hurdle that is a major event / pay-per-view.
Oh yeah,
and I think it'll kind of tell us a lot about how they're going to go forward with storylines and what we can expect at a storyline.
I'm definitely intrigued to see how they utilize the time management of this pay-per-view. If it stays 3 hours with a 1 hour kickoff show, if it's 2 hours with a 1 hour kickoff show, if it's 3 hours with a half hour only talking kickoff show, I'm interested to see how they arrange the time management for the first, especially considering that SmackDown is a 2 hour show to Raw's three. So to me, it would make more sense for it to be a smaller, shorter
2 hour pay-per-view.
Yeah. 2 hour pay-per-view. That would make sense to me. So I'm interested to see how they utilize, especially now that they're not pay-per-views, they're network specials. They're still calling them pay-per-views, but most people are watching them for the same price on the network. So you don't have people going, well, I paid $60 for this, I paid $45 for this. I'm interested to see how they manage the time. But yeah, man, SmackDown has just utilized everything so well that I'm actually excited for this pay-per-view. There've been pay-per-views since Mania I've been excited for, but like SmackDown has managed to really revitalize my love of the cable side, because Cruiserweight Classic, I mean, Bob can tell you how awesome it's been. From everything I've seen, it's been amazing. NXT has been solid. And so it's just like, but Raw has sort of not fumbled the ball, but definitely juggled it a little bit. It was not a clean catch for them. But SmackDown has really managed to turn this whole brand split, which if you think back to the draft, I mean, Bob, you and me were looking at each other the night of the draft going, wow, SmackDown got SmackDown got kind of robbed.
Yeah, we were like, SmackDown got screwed over. And now it's just like, Raw is so boring. Give me SmackDown.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought that this brand split could make me go, wow, I'm actually excited to see Dolph Ziggler and The Miz on my television screen, because the story's good. And it's you know, giving these guys time to talk. Ziggler tonight on commentary was solid. The Miz, like, I've just loved. I mean, I'm also a Miz Mark, but I've loved everything about this current storyline. They really have just, like, you know, Miz also, it should be noted that the there was a clean finish for his match, even though he did the shove into the ring post. I don't really think that's quite as heelish as it is competitive. And Ziggler was the one that goaded him into, you know, coming over to him. And so Miz did win off of a skull-crushing finale. So, Gabe, what do you think about this Miz-Ziggler feud?
Agreed. It was a clean finish, and you know, it was Apollo Crews of all people, and you know, he's, you know, they've built Apollo Crews to be, you know, not just a, like, a, you know, pushover jobber or whatever. You know, he's got some, you know, legit fight in him, which is,
oh, yeah,
which kind of legitimizes this a little bit more. Yeah, that storyline has been really cool to watch. Again, ever since Miz cut that promo on Talking Smack a few weeks ago, I've become, and I think others have too, become more invested in Miz's character and his storyline. You know, yeah, he's still a heel, but, you know, you kind of hear, you know, it was that from the heart promo that just really invested me in that storyline again, and in his character. Same thing with, you know, not only Miz and Ziggler, but, you know, the whole tag team tournament thing. Yeah, we watched, you know, we watched the hype bros, you know, they lost to Slater and Rhino, but it's just, how great was it to see, you know, Heath Slater and Zack Ryder, two guys that have been, you know, that were like, oh my God, these guys are still employed by WWE. They're just jobbing to everybody, to have, you know, a decent, you know, match. It was amazing. It was so cool to see. And so, you know, again, once these storylines run out, it'll be interesting to see where they go. Because right now, I think SmackDown is riding high off of, these are people who didn't have opportunities. Now they have them. Well, once these people get these opportunities, now it's a matter of, okay, you know, where do we go from here? How do we keep it compelling?
Right.
How do we keep folks still invested in SmackDown? But so far, again, off to a great start.
Hold on just 1 second. You think kayfabe?
100%. They injured him in the ring.
Okay.
You weren't here for this. They deliberately made a show of injuring him in the ring.
Okay. Well, in that case, so this is something he just said on Talking Smack.
Yeah.
So we have breaking news that is most likely kayfabe. So won't pay a ton of mind to it, but worth mentioning.
Well,
it's worth mentioning.
It's kayfabe, dude. You're acting like this is serious.
No.
The plot of the match was the Usos turned, and then the Usos injured AA. And now we have the update from Shane McMahon that Chad Gable is out with an MCL sprain, and the Usos are going against the Hype Bros at Backlash to decide who will face Slater and Rhino for the tag team championships, which means that we can probably expect some kind of funky interference from AA at Backlash because they are, quote, kayfabe injured, end quote.
Gotcha. So, yeah, so the news break, quote unquote, is that AA is out. So with that breaking news, Gabe Ross, what do you think about the Usos heel turn and also the Usos versus Hype Bros to figure out who will face Slater and Rhino for the championship?
Well, you know, the Usos, of course, have been around for what, I think 6 years now, something along those lines. Right. Their promo tonight with Renee Young you know, kind of summed up my feelings about them as well as everyone, you know, as well as they did. They've been here for 6 years. You know, they've unfortunately been kind of drug into the whole Roman Reigns, you know, oh yeah, we're cousins and all of that crap. And so, you know, unfortunately they've gotten kind of a bad rep for it. And I think the company at this point is trying to salvage what they can with them. And I think they're doing it the best way possible, which is what they should be doing with Roman Reigns, is a heel turn. So perfect. We've got, you know, Jimmy and Jay, they're now heels. And, you know, it was executed perfectly, because they had you thinking, all right, yeah, oh, it's the good old boys, the Usos, shaking hands. And, you know, you see them jump them at the start of the match, and, you know, you're thinking, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, that's unusual. And, you know, they wind up losing a quick match. And you knew once they lost a quick match that it was going to be, you know, there had to be something else to fill the time. And so, you know, when they did the second handshake and then, oh my God, you know, the super kick and everything else, it was just like, all right, this is officially the heel turn. But, you know, the explanation they gave Renee was spot on. And I think it'll be great for them going forward, now as heels. So looking at it, just in terms of the booking for Backlash, you know, you now have a face team and a heel team. So I don't feel like the hype bros are going to go over at all. So I think it's going to wind up being Jimmy and Jay versus Rhino and what's his nuts?
Slater.
So. It's definitely good to have them heal.
Bob, are you still sticking to your prediction that Slater and Rhino will win?
There's really now two kind of ways I can see this playing out. We have you know, Usos beat the Hype Bros and then go to the final match, and then Jordan comes out and interferes with the Usos, allowing Slater and Rhino to get the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have, to put some nuclear heat on the Usos winning, screwing the Slater out of his contract.
That's also a possibility.
Good way to build some heat for the Usos.
Can I tell you what I would love to happen? Is Slater and Rhino to win the tag team titles. Shane and Daniel come out with the contract, and then Slater goes, you know what? I'm not going to sign. I'm going to stay a free agent because you rescinded my contract before, and I feel like maybe there's a little value in me playing both sides, and that he could take the tag team titles of SmackDown around and show up on Raw and show up on like Cruiserweight Classic, show up on NXT, just he go wherever he wants, show up at an Evolve show with the SmackDown tag titles and be like, I think I'll try to find time to come back to SmackDown and defend these. That could be kind of fun.
I thought something fun also would be if Slater and Rhino win, is if Rhino then leaves right after, meaning that Slater is then going to have to try to defend the tag team titles by himself.
Oh my God. There's so much fun you could do with putting these belts on Slater and Rhino, or just Slater. Just Slater is the one man band.
Right? He's one the one man bad tag team.
The one man
champions.
Oh my God. I'm a one man tag team champ. I would love that. Oh my God. Or Jinder comes over from Raw.
Who knows?
Who knows, man? Lots of options. So, Gabe, next thing I want to talk to you about real quick is how fire was that Dean Ambrose promo he was cutting on AJ Styles in the ring? He got pretty intense there.
It was pretty good. I mean, I'll tell you what, Dean Ambrose is one of those people who, just like AJ Styles, is great on the mic. You know, he may not be much to look at. You know, he's not, you know, John Cena built or, you know, any of the old school wrestlers in terms of physique. But, you know, he gets up there and he tells it like it is. And, you know, he had a couple of really good jabs in there. I'm trying to remember what the one was. It was right before AJ Styles smashed the trophy. It was instead of the face that runs the place, it was like the face that's second place or something.
Oh yeah, it was great.
And you just, you know, the crowd just got into it. And I mean, you know, it's those things that just, when he says it, it sounds so casual, yet obviously it's planned. And I think that's just a credit to him being, you know, good, not only good on the mic, but the writing, you know, and perhaps the flexibility of the creative team working with superstars and not scripting it as much. I've noticed that for sure. They also kind of ran heavy on time. You could tell it was just like, oh, okay, well, kicking the balls. Good night.
Right. Also, I think that part, I think I've appreciated the fact that they've dialed back Dean's goofiness without necessarily eradicating his jokiness from the character entirely. Because he's kind of set the precedent that he's the loose cannon, that he's, you know, he makes jokes. He doesn't take a lot of stuff too seriously. But when he gets into the ring, the last month or so, they've made it abundantly clear that he does take that seriously. He takes the championship seriously. So it's kind of like it's fun and games until someone threatens his title, and then he kind of, you know, snaps into a serious Dean Ambrose.
Now here's something I want to bring up with you guys while I'm thinking about it. So you've got Dean Ambrose, who is the face and he's the champion. We have The Miz, who is a heel and is the champion.
Correct.
We now have two more titles coming into the picture, the tag team titles and the women's championship.
Correct.
Do we see a split in there someplace where we see a face tag champ and a heel women's champ, or vice versa? Or do you think that doesn't really have any bearing?
What do you think about
this whole thing?
Well, I think the big question is, really the women's match kind of boils down to, does Becky or does Becky not win the belt?
True.
Right.
Because if a face is winning it for the women, I feel like it's got to be Becky.
Yeah.
But I feel like they could give it to a heel. I doubt it. Maybe give it to Natty. But I don't think they'd put it on Carmella or Alexa this early.
Yeah, I think Carmella and Alexa are a little too young and a little too new and don't have enough TV time to be the champ. They could put it on Natalya, and Natalya has been around for a while and has the Hart legacy. But honestly, I feel like the two strongest contenders for the belt are Becky. She was the number one women's pick for SmackDown. And, going to throw this out there, Nikki Bella's back. I don't know how I feel about the belt immediately going back onto Nikki Bella. I mean, obviously she would deserve it and she's a great performer. I feel like Becky was your number one women's pick. They've made a big deal about it. So I feel like that should be where the belt goes, honestly, is on to Becky, which would make me feel like there's a stronger chance of the Usos winning the tag team belts. Cause I do feel like there is a little bit of a dynamic where they do try to keep, not necessarily a direct 50-50 split between heels and face champs, but they definitely, I feel like, don't like to have all heels or all faces.
That being said, I also have a sorry. I have a pretty strong feeling that AJ wins the belt on Sunday.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean a win off John Cena, like AJ's riding huge. I feel like he can easily walk away with the belt on Sunday, meaning that the main belt would go to a heel. I feel like Miz will retain, meaning that belt will be on a heel, meaning that they give the new belts to faces.
Which would be Becky and Slater and Rhino?
I guess. I mean, Slater's not exactly a straight-up face, but he's certainly getting cheered like one.
Yeah. And similar,
it's not could like be said Rhino's with, really a heel.
And similar could be said about Dean, honestly, because he has had that kind of heel swagger about him as of late. I don't think that they would turn him full heel, especially in a feud with AJ Styles right now, who's doing great heel work. But I don't know, man. It's interesting. I don't think Miz will drop the IC title. Although I will also say this, even in defeat, Apollo Crews did not look bad tonight. That standing moonsault that he does is beautiful. He did it from the apron, which was really cool. That was
huge.
And then he high-fived all those fans. Like, man, I want to like Apollo Crews so much, but his personality, and again, I know Bob and I, we've had this argument, you don't feel like he's had enough time on the mic. Right. And that's fair. I think maybe if he given more opportunity, he could, you know, at least strengthen himself and give himself the chance to get some personality out there. But man, I gotta say, his in-ring work though, man, you want to like the guy. I mean, he's jacked, he's built like a brick house, and man, he can do some really cool moves for somebody that size.
I'd agree with that. Tell me this, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way about it. It almost seems like SmackDown Live has this smaller promotional feel to it. Like, it almost has that Ring of Honor / TNA feel, where the crowds are not like, oh my god, like, gigantic, like you would, like they would normally set up on Monday Night Raw.
Right.
But it's like a smaller, cozier atmosphere where it is, you know, where traditionally those smaller promotions have focused more on their in-ring performers, which now a lot of them are in WWE. Do you agree with that comparison, or do you think, no, it's still the WWE? You know, their shows are gigantic, and they're always going to be gigantic, and they have that gigantic feel to it.
What do you think, Bob?
I'm going to have to go on the disagree side of this. I mean, they're still in arenas of 20,000 people every night. You know, they still have the huge crowd reactions and
pyro
and huge sounds and incredibly professional stage, and their production values are too good. I feel like even if they tried to make it, you know, a smaller venue and whatnot, their production values still put them over any other rival company in the wrestling game.
I also agree with that, Bob. It's just I feel like it's a little too big to try to make a comparison to, like, you know, TNA or Ring of Honor or PWG or any of these kinds of things. It doesn't quite have that.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the camera angles. It could also be the NyQuil talking.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't know. Just watching SmackDown, I get that feeling like, you know, and especially seeing like AJ Styles and some of these other guys that were, you know, bigger stars of TNA. It's like, it's like you're watching a better version of it. But it's like,
oh, yeah, I mean, I could agree
with the version you wanted to see.
I could agree with the fact that there's more of these. I mean, not all of them, obviously, because, you know, Kevin Owens is over on Raw. Cesaro is over on Raw. Sami Zayn's over on Raw. But I could definitely agree with there's a little bit more of an indie vibe to the roster, not compared to Raw, but compared to what SmackDown was before. I could agree with there's a little more of an indie vibe. Not everybody is a giant big guy. You're not, you know, and I'm not just talking Ryback, you know, not everybody is, you know, big old, you know, Attitude era and previous style, you know, wrestling. There's a lot more technical wrestling. There's a lot more smaller guys who are more agile in the ring. You know, you've got a lot of guys who are out there who are just unconventional. Even Bray Wyatt, while big, is not the conventional big. He's more like Kevin Owens big. So I think that there's definitely a change in style compared to the past, but, you know, it, like Bob was just saying, it's still way too, it's basically like somebody took the old, like the indie wrestling scene and put it in a WWE shell. And honestly, with the NXT writing staff that SmackDown has, I think it's working great. For Raw, at the moment, not so much. Kevin Owens winning was very cool. They didn't address it on Raw this week, and that was a letdown. There was just a lot of stuff that felt like fluff and filler on Raw versus SmackDown. Even the segments that aren't as great still feel like they have a purpose, which makes them interesting inherently, which makes them not feel like a waste of my time. So, overall, what did you think of SmackDown this week?
Starting with me?
Yeah, starting with you, Gabe. What did you think of SmackDown?
All right. Overall, and this is on a 5-star scale.
Yeah.
Since it's now Ross Down Live, have we changed the grading?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's still 5-star, and then we'll aggregate the 3 into 1 rating.
Okay. I will give it last week I would have given that show probably a 4.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go a little lower this week just because of, you know, a couple of little weird production things.
Okay.
And running heavy on time, that kind of stuff. I'm going to give it about a 4.2.
4.2.
Out of 5 stars. Still very... It's obviously the show I want to watch, so...
Right.
Raw's not going to pull in that kind of score.
4.2. All right. So, Bob, that brings us to you. What would you give SmackDown this week?
Definitely going to agree it was not as hot a show as it was last week. But we still had some good matches, still had some good performances. I'm going to give it a 4.
Even?
A 4 even.
Okay.
Felt like they still had a couple lame segments in, like, the Orton-Wyatt feud is kind of dull, and the Bray Wyatt promo today didn't help it.
Right.
So
I definitely agree that I wish they had done a little bit more. I wish they'd done a little bit more with the Bray and Orton feud, because I feel like if we had one more week, I feel like if there was one more week to go in the feud, I would be like, oh, I wonder what they're going to build up to next week to the payoff to Orton Wyatt. As it is right now, I don't think there is a payoff at Backlash for that. I think that is going to build the feud for the next SmackDown pay-per-view at the moment. So I would also go ahead and give this show, you know, I agree, like a 4.2 sounds like a pretty fair rating to me. So I'll go 4.2. So we have 2 4.2s and a 4 even, which gives us a 12.4 out of 15 possible stars. That's a pretty fair rating. That's a pretty good show.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
Any show should be happy with that score.
Just out of curiosity, what would you have given Raw?
Given Raw this week, probably would have given it probably about a 3.5, maybe a 3.4 out of 5. Probably 3.5, just to be generous.
Okay. Bob, what would you have given Raw this week?
I don't think I would have been that kind. Probably 2.5 to 3. That old day segment just went on for so long.
Good point.
Yeah, I saw a little recap of that online, and
it was
bad.
Not funny at all.
Considering I didn't even make it through the show, I'd have to give it, unfortunately, a 2. I mean, it was bad enough that I stopped watching, even with the show sped up 33%. So I would give it I'd give it a 2, which puts that at about an 8.25. out of 15. So overall, if we were giving, like, you know, grade school scores here, we gave SmackDown this week an 82.666 repeating. So 82, hey man, that's a B. And then and then Raw would have gotten a 55% on the test.
And that would be failing.
That's a fail. I do believe that is a fail. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up here. So far, I think Ross Down, I almost said Gabe Down Live. Ross Down Live is I feel like way better already than Monday Night Ross. Nothing against Monday Night Ross. But I have to ask Gabe.
Friend of the show, Monday Night Ross.
Friend of the show, Monday Night Ross. Rest in peace. Gabe, before we let you go, I have just one question for you. We have managed to keep this week PG so far. I've been keeping track in my head, and so far, I think this is going to be the first week we have successfully stayed
without a swear
at PG, which I'm very, very stoked about. Can, you know, go us. I know this question may take us to TV-14, but I want to just ask you real quick. Better Butt, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch.
I got to go Alexa Bliss because she's a Columbus girl and she's a blonde and she's smoking.
There you go.
And that butt.
That butt. It's definitely been a thing going around online. I don't want to repeat some of the things on here because we've been so good about keeping it TVPG on Ross Down Live. But Gabe, thank you so much for coming out and talking to us, staying up to chat about SmackDown.
Hey, a pleasure, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, guys, you can find Gabe online on the Twitter at TV's Gabe Ross. That's at TVSGABEROSS. You can find me at CBPointXer, Bab over here at Bab Frickity. And you can find us online together at Small Package POD. That's POD like podcast or the band. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the first episode of Ross Down Live. And we will Bob and I will see you again on Friday for Small Package. And then we'll see you guys next week here. Same bat time, same bat channel for Ross Down Live episode 2. Thank you guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, buddy.